testimonies and see God on a greater scale just because of the crowd and what they all represent. I heard some great stories. God is still moving. Sister Michelle's missions report touched on some of the things. And we could come here every day with a different report of the things that God is doing. And we could fill up a day just telling you the things that God is doing in other places. And of course, we know what He's doing in our country. And God is all about reaching lost people. Amen. We love being saved, but that's not enough. That's not enough. If I'm only concerned about my four and no more, then we stagnate and we don't grow. And if you're here today and you have never been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, I believe you can feel the presence of God, and you know, just when I say that, there's something triggering in your spirit that says, that's what I need. The Bible gives us that command, but I would rather say the Bible gives us that privilege of being baptized in the name of Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm glad this is not an experience that you wonder if you have it, you don't know. There's never been someone that's received the Holy Ghost and said, well, I'm not sure. Usually anybody looking at their face can see something come on, a joy that they can't express, whether they're 5, 6 years old or 96 years old. There's going to be a difference in their life. And we don't preach the necessity of the Holy Ghost just for the sake of you feeling better. We do that because the Lord said that's the entrance. If you're going to come into the kingdom, it must be by water and it must be by Spirit. Amen. We've got the water and we've got the name, but God gives the Spirit. Amen. I thank Him today for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Our very first convert we had in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, she didn't come into our home group and get the Holy Ghost there. She came to our home group and sat there in the living room. I don't even think we stood in our home groups there. We had sofas, and it was not the formal church service. We sat down. We might have stood and prayed. I don't remember. But as she sat there on the sofa, she said, well, my sister called me and told me about the Holy Ghost. I went over and I knelt down and I started praying. And she said, suddenly I started talking in a language that I wasn't under control of. So y'all tell me, do you think I have the Holy Ghost? And my father-in-law said, you definitely have received the Holy Ghost. And of course, her face was just shining. She was just beaming. Her spirit had been set free and God was there. So I tell you, people have received the Holy Ghost in cars, leaving a meeting and saying, Lord, why didn't I receive it? And suddenly the Holy Ghost fills them. Sometimes our humanity blocks our path, because we do have some humanity, don't we? Sometimes my humanity limits not only the Holy Ghost, but my humanity can limit me from getting other great things from God. In order for me to come to the place to receive the Holy Ghost, there are things I need to get in order. Why would that be? Is that making it difficult? No, not at all. Not at all. If you are a drug dealer, you really need to look at finding another line of work if you're going to live for God. Because that's not going to allow you to do that kind of work and feel good about it. I'm just being real obvious. You know, I'm trying to pick something obvious. If you have connections to the mob and you're what they call their cleanup guy, you're going to have to ease away from the 9mm. You can't do those things. I'm talking about obvious things. Lady in Longview, Texas, the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she told the pastor, she said, I'm so glad for it. I'm glad to have been baptized. But if I don't make a delivery, they say they're going to kill me. She goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. She said, I mean, these people don't play around. I've got to make this delivery, but I know it's wrong. No one's ever asked me about that. No one's ever asked me, what should I do? with that kind of implications. The pastor said, you need to pray about this and trust that the Lord's going to work it out. And so she prayed about it, and she thought, I think I need to call the distributor. You know, these aren't Amway people. This is not multi-level marketing in that sense. And she called the man she worked for, and she said, I just need to tell you something, and I know that you'll probably send somebody here to hurt me or even kill me, but I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I cannot make that delivery. I'm sorry. And she waited, and he said, I would not want to ask you to do something like that after God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. He said, you're free. You're free. The real world versus God's world. I'm going to go to Proverbs 24 and 27. And let me say, it's great to have all of our guests with us today. The gentleman from Alabama, good to have you with us, worshiping with us today. I like to see people that, when they're away from church, they go to church. Because we get addicted to this, and it becomes our life. And if you're here and you don't even have a church, we doubly like you. Because you may not believe this, but we have got a place for you here. Isn't that great? You just happen to show up on the Sunday that we have openings. We try to have openings about 52 Sundays a year. We really are great like that. We are flexible. Proverbs 24, 27, prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. Father, I am asking in your great name, God, that your holy presence would be in this house and surround us right now. Lord, there is an intended purpose in my heart, but outside of that, the Holy Ghost knows more. I pray, Father, you help us to meld in with the leading of your Spirit and do your spiritual work today, each of us, God. Let us truly be your ambassadors, Father. Let us be your helps. Anointed, I pray, in that great name of Jesus. Everyone say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Feeling great today. We saw great things, great reports at the general conference, and reconnected with friends and so forth. All those things that we can do. But right about Wednesday, I thought I started missing this place, and started thinking about what am I going to preach whenever I get home. And I sat down in the airplane and had my Bible here on my iPad. I opened it, and the Lord just gave this to me, I feel. And I think I've used this scripture recently, maybe as a support, but I wanted this to be my text. I think I have something today. The initial experience of salvation requires inside work of the Holy Spirit, but it also requires an outward work of repentance. And the word repent just means to turn around, to make an about face in your life and go the other way. You have to leave some things behind. And there are connections that you need the Holy Ghost to help you turn loose of, like as I kind of said a moment ago. And God helps us with that. He really does. God is generous to us and kind. And he doesn't shame us because of what we've been. God loves us even though we've been what we've been. And he loves us dearly. And the one word repent is of utmost importance, both in being filled with God's wonderful Spirit and in the future growth in the Spirit. Coming into the family of God is not good enough. It would be like saying, well, we had a baby and the baby's doing good. It's 9 pounds 3 ounces. And a year later, if that baby is 9 pounds 3 ounces, that's not right. Something's very wrong. Because what happens when you have a baby is not only does that baby need to grow, but you've got to treat it different as it goes through different stages. Right. We adapt to the growth of the baby, and the baby grows according to what life would offer it. And so the baby needs nurturing and it needs care. And we all know that's very simple. But as we are born into the kingdom of God, it's the same way. We cannot be born. We cannot, as some churches may just have you quote something and say something. I'm thankful for whatever experience you may have ever had at a church. You can say, thank God that I was there instead of somewhere else and I felt God. You may have had a great touch. But the Bible tells us that when we come to God, we must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And the reward that He gives those that seek Him is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When we are baptized in water in the name of Jesus, either before or after. So there is a cause and an effect when we serve God and when we seek God. Amen. So if you seek God, you need to seek Him thinking, I'm going to get something from God. I'm not just going to go to the voting booth and put in my vote and hope somewhere down the road it might make a difference in the overall scheme of things. Oh, no, no. God understands you want to see proof that He is real, and He will give you that proof on a daily basis. Amen. I'm thankful to God today that I've got God in my life daily. Proof daily. Am I crazy? No. No, no, I'm not. I just have to have it that way. Amen. When I got married, I married full time. I know they got the part-time ways you can do all that. I married full-time. I didn't marry a wife that was also married to three other people. It was just me and me alone. I know that's maybe selfish, but that works better, I think. And I was her husband and only her husband. I was no one else's husband. There was no brother husbands or sister wives. Me and her alone. One-on-one, just us. And whenever I came to God, He demanded that I give Him my all, my everything. He rewards that kind of determination, that kind of commitment. And so the word repent means if you're going this way, which is the wrong way, repent just means to turn around and go the other way. That's all it is. And so as we are repenting, we're saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my other direction. I'm not going to go that way anymore. But until you've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be difficult to refuse some things. It doesn't mean you give in and go ahead and do it. I mean, it's going to be more difficult not to do the things that you have been trained to do or the desires that you have ingrained into your nature. You want to go ahead and do those things. Some of them might be secret things. You don't want anybody else to know it. And so you'll do them in a corner, in a secret. But the problem is we've got to turn away from those things, but you'll never have total victory until you're filled with the Spirit of God within, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Can you say amen? So the scripture I read today is about two dimensions. One is the outside, the other is the inside. And one is about outside influences, and the other is about inside development due to those influences. It says, when you build your house, no, wait, first do the outside work. And then after that, you build your house. The dwelling is our internal spiritual growth. It is our Holy Spirit influenced life. But we all know that to live this life, we must maintain the realm of that life and how it affects how we live. So the outside has to be settled. I have to cultivate the external factors and influences of my life so that it doesn't pollute the inside, and it's a constant battle to decide who's really the Lord of my life. I've got to take care of some outside things. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to get rid of some old connections, some old lovers. We've got to get rid of some old problems, some old habits. And we have to say, God, turn me around and cleanse me. We've got to take care of that outside work so the inside is not a continual battlefield. There's some of you battling right now because of the external influences. You never got it under control. You never pulled those weeds. You never went out there and dug them up. You never took the rocks out of the garden, and you're still being hindered, and you can't see seeds grow, and you put the seed out, and you don't get 40, 30, 60-fold, but you're continuing to try to see briars come up, and you don't understand what you're doing wrong. But we've got to get rid of the influences that are disturbing our progress and hampering our growth in the Lord. Exodus 13 and 17 through 18. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was nearer, that was the shortcut, that would have been, it would have made more sense on a map. But the Lord said, I'm not going to lead them that way. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and they turn around and go back to Egypt. They're tender. They just got released from 400 years captives by Egypt in Egyptian bondage. And now through all the signs and wonders, the Pharaoh finally let them go by miraculous hand of God. And now as they left and they're being now pursued by finally the Egyptian army again after Pharaoh changed his mind again that ninth time. But the Lord said, I could lead them the shorter distance, but they're going to see wars. They're going to have to be involved in conflicts. They're not ready for wars yet. They're not ready to be tested yet. They're not ready to be tried yet. And when you're young and tender in the Lord, and the Lord first fills you with the Holy Ghost, if you will allow Him, He will lead you beside still waters. He will lead you and let you lay down in green pastures because He knows that's what you're able to do. You're equipped for those things. And we all get to do that from time to time. But you don't get out of the water after being filled and baptized and God takes you to a battlefield. You don't need to go back to the bar and witness to your biker friends in there. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be in a place where you can grow in the Lord and God can strengthen you, and you got to get rid of the outside influences of your life. This is not just something for newbies here. This is for all of us. We got to maintain the outside so that the inside doesn't become polluted. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went straight up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. God led them to what seemed like a much longer route. It's going to take you longer to get there. But God, in His divine purpose, said, the only way you're going to get to the land you need to go to is you've got to cross a sea. 2 million people are going to have to cross the sea. 2 million people, some of those were 2 months old. Some of those were 90 years old. And everywhere in between there. And they had to cross the Red Sea. And the only way you're going to cross the Red Sea, it's going to take a miracle. And I'm thankful today that we serve a God of miracles. 40 years later, they're crossing another body of water. They're crossing the Jordan River. Both of those, they crossed on dry ground. When Moses put out his staff across the Red Sea, the water rolled back. We know the story very well. And the wind blew all night, and they crossed by there on because of a miracle. 40 years later, if many things had happened, God had pruned away the naysayers and the doubters, and there went across those that truly were believers into the promised land. And once again, when the priest stepped their foot into the waters of the Jordan River, the Jordan rolled back and they could see the water piled up like water doesn't do. But the God of all science and elements can suspend anything He wants to, and He blew the water back and they walked across on another miracle. It's a miracle when you are baptized in the miraculous name of Jesus. It's a miracle when you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One is you're going to get there, the other one you're going to get into the next realm. I'm thankful to God I was baptized. I'm thankful to God that I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to be baptized in the name, and I had to be filled with evidence of speaking in other tongues. A miracle on one side and a miracle on the other side. Without a miracle, we cannot live this life. If you try to get into this life by confessing Christ, you're going to turn around and leave because there's no power in it. I'm sorry. There's good in repentance. There's good in worship. There's good in all churches, but you got to believe in the miracle. Amen. You got to believe in the miracle. We got to be willing to take care of the outside work. Most important part of this verse, it says, is that God led them. In order for God to lead anyone, they've got to be willing to follow God. Amen. Some people can say, yeah, Lord, I'm a follower. I'm a follower of Christ. And they are. They are. But they're a follower of a lot of other things also. They are, but they also like some other things. Those who can't follow will eventually get, you know, to that exciting battlefield, and they're not prepared for war. those that will follow anything are at the wrong battlefield. God realized that these Israelites were not ready to see the battlefield. They need to get their dwelling settled. They need to understand what repentance was. They needed to understand we've got to get our hearts right. Why did that matter so much to God? Because all they knew was idol worship. All they knew was how the Egyptians worshiped. The Egyptians didn't just have a god. They had a lot of gods. They had a god of the moon and the stars, a god of the sun, a god of the trees, a god of the tree bark, a god of the carpet fibers, whatever it was. They had gods. They worshiped all kinds of gods because they were afraid if they didn't worship that god, they would make that one god angry. And then Moses came proclaiming, I'm talking to you about the great I am. He is the I am. He needs nothing else to describe him. He needs no other god with him. He is the Almighty God. Threw their staffs down. They turned to snakes. The magicians did the same thing, but the one that they threw down, it ate all of their snakes. You thought that would have turned Pharaoh around. No. He leaned toward the magicians. You know why he liked that? You know why they leaned towards those magicians? Because it didn't demand doing anything externally. See, Moses said, in order for us to allow our God to have his way, we've got to get out of Egypt. And Pharaoh's like, we don't want you to leave Egypt, and we're not going to leave Egypt. Because you got to have Egypt in your heart, and you got to be in the heart of Egypt. In other words, you got to stay this ground right here. But by a mighty hand, God led them out. By a mighty hand. I'm so thankful today this thing happens with a miracle. I don't believe you can be baptized in the name of Jesus and not feel different when you come up out of the water. It's a powerful name. It's a powerful name. All across our nation, there are people sitting in churches today hearing this message similar to this and going, you know, that might be what I'm missing. That might be the thing right there. Yes, it is. Everybody's born with an empty space that only God can fill. Amen. Amen. But these Israelites were a few chapters from the commandments. They weren't ready for the commandments yet, but they were getting ready for the commandments. All they had seen to this point was judgment in Egypt, but that wasn't enough to win a battle. They needed to cover some ground and put distance between them and their adversaries. That's what taking care of the outside work does. It can be repentance. It can be a life lived towards God and lived in a way of holiness. It can be just saying, I'm going to manage the things that are trying to manage me, and I'm going to get them under control. Judges 14:1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I'm going to shave you some time and tell you that didn't work out very well. He went down there, and she was pretty and all of that, and he got angry because, you know, he killed the lion and on the way there, and then the first time and on the way back the next time to go down there and get married, there was honey in the carcass of the lion. So he posed a riddle to all the people there, the wedding party guys, and said, you know, what's sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion and all this? That was the answer to the riddle. But she cheated and got him to tell her the answer to the riddle. And then she told it to the other guys, and they came to him and gave him the answer, and he got angry, and he done damage to the Philistines. And so that didn't work out, and when he came back to marry her, her father said, I gave him to your best man. And of course, he got very angry again and took out his anger on them. But it says it was of the Lord, because the Philistines were subduing the Israelites. And so in the greatness of Samson and all the things that he was able to do, you realize that he didn't do everything right. I think we can say that with a bold type. Samson didn't quite get away from being the strong guy and the hero. Judges 14:4, his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So God used Samson. But I want to say that he could have been so much more had Samson won the battle over Samson. But Samson was his own enemy, his own worst enemy. So while he had huge strength, I don't believe that he was a strong-looking guy, because I believe God got glory out of this man. See, God doesn't get glory out of someone that, you know, has, you know, towering muscles and just is scary to look at. I believe when they looked at him, he was just a normal looking guy. And when he picked up the gates of Gath weighing a couple of tons and carried him up on a hill and set him down, they're going, how in the world can a guy do that? I mean, a strong man couldn't do that. And this guy weighs 134 pounds. How did he do something like that? Well, only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. See, the Lord led him to this union so that he would have a chance to suppress the power of the enemy. What God was doing, he's saying, Israel, every time you get into trouble, I'm going to send the enemy. But my mercy is everlasting. And so I'm trying to ease the pressure on you a little bit. You know, God, even in his judgment, he tries to ease things up. You call out to God, he'll hear the ones that are calling out to him. Think about the balancing act. God has to continue to oppress them for their sin, but at the same time, release some pressure so they can have a breath every now and then. You haven't turned your heart totally to me, but I'm going to bless you. Now think about this. Think about this. They fell into the sin, or fell into the dominion of the Philistines for their sin. They cried out to God. He sends Samson and many other judges. We read about that in the book of Judges. But the Lord would ease up, and they would go back into sin, and here comes another adversary. Ease up, another adversary. There is some victory. There is some victory in serving God without the whole truth. There is some relief in serving God. God helps people that call out on his name, even though they may not understand exactly what to pray for. God blesses them. I will go far as to say they have miracles. If they can do things believing that God will do them and do it in Jesus' name, they will have miracles, and yet they're not quite right with God. They have signs and wonders, even though they don't do things quite right with God. Look at Samson. He did some wonderful things, but he kept going right back into sin. There was some good in Samson, but it wasn't good enough. If it had been good enough, I don't believe he would have had his eyes poked out. I've wondered if Samson viewed Delilah as maybe his consolation prize. Because, you know, the other wife, things didn't go well with her. And, you know, he set everybody's fields on fire. And he ended up being bound up with ropes that he broke loose from and killed 1,000 Philistines. You know, it didn't go well for the Philistines with Samson being the way he was. He kind of had a temper. But when we start to identify... Now, think about this. You know, some people don't realize when they've, you know, wronged God, they don't realize they've wronged God. But what some people might say is, Lord, I've sacrificed and been wronged, therefore you owe me something. Am I right? Does anybody ever think like that? Maybe I'm getting that from Mars or Venus, not picking on any one particular person here today. But sometimes people feel like they've been done wrong and therefore God owes them. Okay, I've felt like that before. Yes. Lord, I was trying to do something good. I was trying to do something that I thought was pretty good in my judgment, and I didn't get thanked for it. Matter of fact, I got blamed for something else. That's why we have to live for God day by day, and every day we've got to start over again. Yes. Yep. Somebody might say, I've sacrificed, so God owes me. I've done without for so long. I deserve a break. Look, when we start to identify our outside work as sacrificial instead of protective, we are very near rewarding ourselves with tragic loss. When we start seeing our outside work, the part that we have to maintain so that we can have a life, when we fail to maintain our external factors, then we allow sin or problems to encroach on our peace and inside our dwelling, and then we are getting very close to blaming the wrong ones for our tragic loss and saying, God, I don't know what else to do, and we may get bitter with God. So instead of looking at the culture around us, we need to look into the Word of God and see those like Hannah, who endured hardship for years and couldn't have children. She'd go to the house of God, and her husband had another wife named Peninnah, and Peninnah had like several kids, and they would take those kids to the house of God to worship in their time they did, and all of them would get portions to offer as sacrifices, and Hannah, she got a worthy portion, but she had no children. But to make matters worse, Peninnah, the other wife, would talk taunt her and say, you have nobody. Look at my 5, 6 kids. You got nothing. You got nothing. Look at my beautiful kids. And watch us as we go to present our gift to the Lord. And you've got your little worthy portion. And the Bible said she vexed her every time they went to church. Peninnah was sitting there with a finger in her face saying, you know what's wrong with you? You know, there must be a curse. God must really hate you. Over and over again. But Hannah stood her ground and went to that church that last time. Have you ever got fed up? Anybody been fed up? It's a whole lot different than being fed. Just add that one word to it, and it's a whole other different ball game. I like to be fed. Don't like to be fed up. And fed up is one of them places we all have to drive to every now and then. Go to the land of fed up. That means we ain't going to take this no more. So she got fed up. Help us, Jesus. But what happened? She said, oh God, I don't even know what to pray anymore. I prayed this so long, so much, so much. So many times I've prayed the same thing. And look at me here, look at me here. And then to make matters worse, when you ever got to the point where you can use that sentence, and to make matters worse, you're not talking about your birthday party. When you get to the point where you can say, and to make matters worse, let me just tell you, insult to injury. You ain't going to believe this part right here. To make matters worse, that's never a good thing. She's in the house of God. They didn't go to the house of God every week, every day, every month. This was something sometimes even just once a year, 3 times a year at most. And she's in the house of God. And she's praying and just, oh God. And she's in such remorse, just mourning before God. And the priest, who was not a righteous man by any stretch, not a righteous man, a priest who did not have control of his young sons who were also priests, and they defiled the house of God. They caused people to not even want to come to church because they argued and fought over the meat sacrifices. They fornicated at the temple, at the temple. Think about that. You're going to church and you're seeing things. You're having to hide your kids' eyes. That's the conditions of this place of worship. And she's in there. And this man that's responsible for allowing sin to go rampant in the house of God, causing people to stay home and say, I'm not going to go back to that church. Her lips are moving. No sound, just her lips are moving. She's in sorrow. And he says, young lady, let me tell you something. You don't ever need to come into this place drunk again. You're intoxicated. How dare you? Think about who's telling her that. And she could look up to him and say, who do you think you are? Right. But what he was doing was drawing out of her the promise. Because what her lips were doing was she was going out and taking care of all the outside work. She was taking care of the external parts and getting ready. Didn't realize it. She's getting ready for a blessing. God, here's what I'm going to tell you to do, God. Lord, if you will just give me a son. I didn't want to say this last year. I know I could have. I was at my breaking point last year of saying this, but I'm going to tell you something right now, God. It's just a son. If you'll give me just a son. Somebody to carry on my family. If you will just give me a son. Okay, I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to bring him, physically, I will bring him back to you. With that, she got her last row of seed planted. The last fence post put. Her outside work was completed. And God spoke through that decaying, old, backslidden priest. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Oh, those lips hadn't said that in a long time. The same lips that wanted to curse her for being drunken with wine in the house of God when she was drunk in the Spirit. And those same lips spoke under the unction. And oh, when was the last time he felt the unction? But when somebody gets the outside work done, you would be surprised what God begins to do on the inside of anyone that you're connected with. You want order in your house? Get everything done on the outside. Turn off the things that are causing you to go back into the same pit again and again and again, and get rid of it so God can move into your life. He said, if the Lord said this, thus saith the Lord, God is going to give you a man this same time next year. You're going to have a male child. And she said, the one who prayed that prayer said, oh, no, don't tease me like that. Don't tease me like that. I can't take it. I've been nothing but disappointed. But she didn't realize that she had purchased it with her contrition, with her sadness, with her dedication to whatever, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm there. In 1 Kings 12, it talks about Rehoboam, and he is the son of Solomon, great wise King Solomon. King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And, you know, I'm going to be the king. And all he really had to do was just be the king. Just say, I'm glad to be your king. My father was a good man. I'll try to do my best. But he stood before them and said, how do you advise that I answer? And they spake. The wise men spake and said, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, oh, they will be your servants forever. You know what they're saying? Your dad left everything in really good shape. They loved your father for what he did. But it said he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before. They stood before him. They were the ones that were in front of him. They were the ones that rode in the chariot with him. They were the ones that sat on the sofas with him as they had feasts and drank what they wanted to drink. They're the ones that he partied with. One other scripture tells us these were some pretty vile characters. When you read in the book of Chronicles, they were some pretty vile men. You know, if you keep talking to people, eventually you're going to find somebody that'll say what you need them to say. Right. He heard the old men, then he went, thank you for that. But I'm going to go talk to my buddies. Hey, buddies, what do y'all have? Oh. He didn't understand this. They're going to say whatever it takes to stay on your friends list. Yeah, they want to stay connected to you. They want to be right there by your side because they realize you're about to ascend to the top. They want to be a part of that. And it said he forsook the counsel of the older men who encouraged him wisely to keep leading like his father, and he is influenced by these very sinful men. And by heeding their counsel, he brought judgment to Israel and a division. Simply, now, he could have followed in the footsteps of his father, and his father didn't do well in his latter years because the Bible said he allowed many strange women to draw his heart away from the Lord. And so he wouldn't have to do a lot to be better spiritually than his father. But he listened to the wrong counsel. His father had given him a kingdom that was blessed by God. And he said, no, I'm going to listen to the counsel of those that don't heed God and don't know God. And a division God caused, because that's when God had already sent a prophet to Jeroboam and said, Jeroboam, you're going to get 10 tribes of the 12. Rehoboam's going to get just Judah and the very small tribe of Benjamin. But Jeroboam, you're going to have all the other 10 tribes. And the prophet that came to him said, and if you will do the work of God, if you will do all the Lord has asked you to do and follow him with your whole heart, compared to Rehoboam, not going to be too hard to do. Just follow God with your whole heart. God will make your kingdom like the kingdom of David. Of all the kings he could have compared him to, that right there should have called Jeroboam to say, that's what I'm going to do. But in a separate story, we read that Jeroboam looked around and thought, okay, I've got 10 out of the 12 tribes, but what if they go to Jerusalem? Jerusalem's across the fence. It's across the boundaries. And they go there to worship. I'm going to lose my people. And so he built golden calves. It worked out so good before when Israel worshiped golden calves. It really hurts people that they don't know history. It really hurts when you don't understand what God loves and what God hates. But that's one reason we've got to stay in the book. So we need to always know what God loves and what God hates. Amen? We need to always know, Lord, when did you turn to us and what makes you turn away from us? And know what God loves and what God hates. Amen? You know, they love Dad. All you got to do is just do what Dad did. But church, don't let your surroundings, and I'm coming to a close, don't let your surroundings limit your potential and your growth. That's your field. That's your outer work. Be sure to have your life in order before you begin to serve God. And if you're serving God, you need to keep your life in order. Because see, you may not have intentions that are negative or evil in any way, but if we don't have our outside work, the things that daily come towards us, the things that daily influence us, the people that we daily talk to, the things that are daily being poured into our life, if we don't have control over those things, then they will eventually pollute us and we will become like them. And it will not be long before the inside of the house is a reflection of the field that we have growing on the outside. But what I need to do is have an outflow that comes from having a prayer life, that comes from worshiping God the way I need to worship God. And when I come to this place and I pour my heart out and I hear preaching and I heed the word of God and I go back into my house gives me a charge, it gives me a direction so that I can go out into my field and I can pull the weeds that are growing in my field and I can expand the borders that have been tried to encroach into my territory and I can reclaim things that I used to have and I can walk upright before the Lord. But it all starts in the pulpit. It starts in the church. It starts at the altar. How am I going to respond to the word of God? What am I going to do with what I've heard? Is it going to last to the parking lot or is it going to go home with me? Lord, affect us today, not but for today, but affect us forever, God. Let it go beyond where we are right now. The Bible tells us about Lot, and when he pitched his tent, he aimed it so that he could get up and sit over with a flap over him and sit in the shade, and he could watch the commerce of Sodom. Right. Nothing wrong with that. You ever drove to a city, and certain cities are this way, that long before you get there, you can see them coming above the horizon. And it's beautiful to see sometimes, you know, especially if the sun's setting behind them and you can just see that city sticking up in the skyline. And, oh, it's just something magical about it. Many years ago, we was in New York, and I took a picture. Me and Jared were there, and it was a gloomy day, and cloudy and just an awful day. But I love taking pictures in cloudy weather. And we were on Staten Island. And from the window of Staten Island, I looked and saw the landscape or the skyline of Manhattan with the gray clouds. Oh, and it was just the most beautiful picture. And I took it and then I cropped it where it was just a long skyline photo. And the buildings, the gray buildings and the gray clouds are almost undiscernible, but it's just enough to see it. Just that mass of humanity depicted in just a photo. You can't see, you can't hear, you don't see anything. But it stands for that. You realize what it stands for. And whenever we get a view of the eternal glory of God and that city that He has built for us, when we get a glimpse of where He's leading us to, it keeps me going, y'all. It keeps me pressing towards the mark. It tells me I don't care about right now. Like the lady that got the Holy Ghost and was supposed to deliver the drugs, there was something in her heart that said, I know I need to do this to save my life. And I, you know, hundreds of dollars I'm going to get for it. And man, I could sure use that. But something in me calls me to see beyond the earthly. And I see a heavenly goal saying, you need to aim for something that's in the hands and the blessings of God rather than do what you think you need to do to live this life. Oh, if we could get our outside work right, if we could repent of the things we need to repent of and say no to sin and say, Lord, plow up my heart, God. Get me rid of those things that I don't need to be doing anymore. Lord, help me today to get to the place that I need to so that I can live for you and the outside can be a reflection of the inside. Thank you, Jesus. Let us all stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Samuel came no more to see Saul till the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul, you had so much potential. You were the people's choice. But you didn't regard the things of God very highly at all. You didn't regard the things of God. Saul, you really liked the things of Saul. The prophet, yeah, he bothered you. Matter of fact, you wanted to be held in the same esteem as the prophet. Tried it for a while, didn't work out, did it? The outside things, right outside the window, right outside the door, right over there, we've got that barbed wire fence, and over there, that first row, then all those rows, perfect symmetry. On the other side, we've got some cattle. Oh, the cattle, they're doing well. All that lush grass is feeding them. Got a barn they stay in. Straight ahead. Look at the corn, the rows of corn, perfectly done. All the things around. They satisfy, they feed the inside. They keep the inside of the house the way it needs to be. But the outside things that trouble us are not those crops. It's when we don't have those things. We're still trying to get the weeds out. Associates in our life, bad associations. The thing about people that we're associated with, we don't have to sit and wonder, now who is it? Right. Who is it? My biology teacher, first of the class, we had teams. We sat at two per table. Me and Larry sat at one table. She said, I want everybody to get out a piece of paper and write down one thing that will hinder you from making straight A's. Larry was smart. He always made straight A's. And he just wrote my name on the paper and turned it in. And so, I don't know what I wrote. So I said, what'd you put down? He goes, I just put your name. I was honest. I said, well, I guess we're not going to be sitting together long. She's going to make me move. But he was right. Me with my best bud, he wasn't going to make good grades. And he was one of those honor students, whatever that means. I got to be one once too, so, you know, don't worry. I did better later. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves, what associations are helping us and which ones are hurting us? That's easy, but what about injuries? See, the problem with injuries, and God heals them. But even though you may write a name of a person down, they still may be right there. Everybody's been hurt by somebody. Some have been hurt a lot worse than others. Oh, I don't even want to pretend that I can get into your life and your mind and tell you, oh, it's easy, because I know it's not. But I can tell you this. If you can take that hurt and just tell Jesus about it, I want to tell you what's going to happen. When you say, Jesus, Lord, you know they hurt me, Lord, they abused me. Tears are going to flow from your eyes. Because it's going to be very emotional. But here's the thing. It's going to be quickly evident is that when you tell Jesus about your hurt, you're telling the one who took the nails for you. And that brought healing, because by his stripes, by the blood in his skin that broke free, by that we are healed. And oh, we can all thank God if we're healed from a disease. But when you've been hurt in your heart, when your soul has been hurt, that's the healing only Jesus can bring. There's no medication or surgery or doctor that can heal a hurt that comes from somebody else, but Jesus can heal your hurt. But you got to say, Jesus, I know you can heal my hurt today. I'm talking about the outside. Your outside work, God can heal. Some people, your pride Your pride is in your way. It's all about you. And well, it's really just insecurity. It's a false front, but Jesus can heal that pride. What are you afraid of? Fear. He can heal your fear. Insecurities? Which one of us is not insecure about something? That's outside stuff, but we need to give it to Him. But you will be complete in Him. Failures. I want to tell you something about failures. Here's the thing about failures. Is the people who do them, commit them, that have them, they don't talk about them too much. Therefore, it makes everybody think that they're the only one that's failed like that. Because we don't bring banners in. Here's what happened to me this week. I'll stop so you can read the small print. Everybody got that? See that? All right, there's more on the back. See that part on the back? Yeah, I'm not proud of it. We don't bring signs because God allows us to repent of those things. Let me just tell you, let me tell all of you, that if all of you knew what all of you have done, you may not come to church with all of you. I'm serious. You have no idea what is under the blood. And I want to tell you, it's under the blood. It's under the blood, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do we have a volunteer that would tell all of us every thought that's been in your head the last 24 hours? Yes, sir, come on down. No, don't need to do that. I'm so glad that our thoughts aren't projected like, you know, one of them above your head, like letters that float in air, thought bubbles. Whew, thank the Lord. What if your real feelings about somebody just popped up when you went and shook their hand? Happy thought. That's what you'd be doing. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. It means the works of the flesh can be used against you in court. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. And there's more. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and of the like, of the which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the good and the bad news. That's bad, but it's good that they're not going to be there. Those won't inherit. It keeps the line clean. But the fruit of the Spirit, what God's Spirit produces, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I want to walk in the Spirit today, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, holy God. We're going to gather to the front, and I just would like to ask if there's someone here that just needs a little healing balm in your soul. You need to join us up here. We're all coming. But if you just need God to touch you, you've got a hurt that you need Him to help. You may have in your heart a desire to be baptized. We can baptize you today. We would love to. Come up here and let's begin to call on the name of Jesus. And oh, I'll trust me today. I'll promise you, God will meet you right here because He's a healer. My God is a healer. My God is a way maker. And the Lord is going to help us today. Saints, visitors, our guests, I want to tell you, God will help us to take care of our outside work. Very clearly, the outside work are the influences that shape us. It's the things that shape us, the things that make us who and what we are. And that outside work are the things that should be blessing you and blessing me. Holy God, Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name that, Lord, your presence would descend upon this place. God, honor your word. Honor your word, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let your goodness be in this house. And someone today, Lord, that needs a touch in their spirit. Someone today, Lord, that needs a power that they haven't felt. Someone needs the Holy Ghost right now. I want to promise you, if you need the Holy Ghost, you must just...